You're complaining that there aren't enough regulations.
Representative, I don't think you've ever heard me say that. No, it's one of those things that just going back to what I was saying earlier, I think the high level concept that a facility like Lewiston, or if we were to incentivize the development of a new one in Northern Maine or in Southern Maine or wherever that was, were to be, to pull material out that doesn't need to go into a state landfill or into any landfill, that's a positive thing. And so just trying to figure out what encourages that. How do we influence those economics? Again, there's no silver bullet, but one bright point, and Greg can speak to this a little bit, is that due to inflation and labor shortages and higher fuel costs right now, in some instances, it is cheaper and more cost effective for some of these consumers to bring the material to Lewiston. I don't think it's any surprise that a trip from, I'm just going to say, Portland to Lewiston is a lot cheaper right now than a trip from Portland to Old Town or Portland to anywhere beyond there. So I don't know if there's anything more to add, but that's one bright spot. It's again, can't count on that forever. But
I don't like his idea, the high fuel or the high inflation either, Representative. So that's, I'm not agreeing with that. But what's happening really, I'm kidding around. The what's happened here in the last 6 months with what's going on in the world is driving how the solid waste business is operating much, much differently than it was even 12 months ago. And the shortfall in supply chain, the high fuel, the high inflation, not enough employees, the business has changed pretty dramatically. And in the past, we've told you that about 10% of the material coming in the door was coming in from in-state. And over the last 6 months, we've now, I'm expecting this month, we'll probably be over 40% on our way, even further than that coming in the door. And it's really been a change in the way that the entire marketplace has to run their business. So what we're doing is we're switching out of state material for in-state material. And we've got people that in the past, it didn't make sense for them, but right now, and because they're asking for longer term contracts, we feel pretty good about that switch is happening naturally right now.
Representative Dudera on Zoom has a question, and maybe you have one more slide.
This might be the last one.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll go ahead and have Representative Dudera ask her question.
Okay. Thank you very much. It is a little disorienting because we can't sort of see ourselves. I just see the screen, but anyway, hello. Thanks for this presentation. I have a question. I mean, I'm assuming a lot of this demolition, and from what we said and what we heard earlier, mattresses and furniture aside, a lot of it is houses. It's houses being taken down or buildings being taken down. Is that correct?
Sure. And like as an example, the city of Lewiston probably, they knock down double digit buildings each year and those buildings come to us. So it's everything from a knockdown of a building all the way through renovation and new construction.
Okay. So my question is where we have the oldest housing stock in the country, do you see any sense or any other states kind of doing any kinds of incentives for people to sort of keep the older structures? I know that there's, probably if you have a truly historic building, you can get some money for that kind of renovation. But I mean, I'm just thinking where we had so many people from other places kind of coming in and buying property. Is there a way to encourage people to work with what's already there rather than adding to our municipal landfills by taking buildings down? Just wanted to hear your thoughts. Thank you.
So I have not seen that anywhere at this point in order to preserve the older homes. So I don't have anything to help you on that side because it's not something that that we've heard of yet.
I don't know. I don't want to give a homework assignment to Sarah, but maybe that's something that parlays into other. Much of my slides. Gotcha. Yeah. Forthcoming, Representative Dudera.
Okay, thank you very much.
Did you want
to chime in? We had 10 minutes left on this segment, so I just wanted to throw out a curiosity question that may or may not be related to this issue. I was down by the old Mercy Hospital a month or so ago, and they're tearing down big parts of it. Mm-hmm. And as they're demolishing certain parts of the old hospital, I noticed that they had piles. So there's a pile of wood, there's a pile of concrete, there's a pile of bricks. Are they simply doing the processing on site? If demolition is done like that on the site, is there anything left for you to process?
You know, typically from those, Senator, those big jobs like that are big enough to sort. They can separate those out into quantities that make enough sense to do it. So it's economical for them to do it. I'll end up getting all of the wood and wood structures typically, and I send that to the place that recycles wood the best in my fleet. And then I get, you know, the mixed material that's at the bottom, and I send that to the other facility that handles it the best and recycles it the best. And so I'll get several of those piles, but I won't get them all.
I see. You're sort of at the bottom of the food chain.
I am at times.
Or the top, whatever.
I am. Okay. I am, yep.
Thank you. And thanks for answering all our questions this afternoon. One of the methods that you suggested as increasing recycling of C&D waste is to create cost advantages in existing fee schedules. What kind of cost advantage would be helpful in making recycling more viable with in-state C&D?
So that pile of wood that they just tore down at Mercy Hospital, it's big enough. It's still not ready for market. I have to take it, clean it up, and get it prepared for market. I will charge a lot less money to do that because to take that material in, because I call it source separated wood, mm-hmm. and it comes in tractor trailer loads. And what it gives me is the ability to not put it through the whole entire system. I can set it off to the side and just put it through the final wood system that turns it into a wood product that can be recycled. So we do that as often as we can, so that instead of having 80% of the operation handle it, I only have 20% of the operation handle it. Mm-hmm. And we pass that along to the contractors. It's not just contractors. We do it with communities that have mm-hmm. Recycling facilities or transfer stations, et cetera, where they source separate that kind of material.
Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure that quite, I was thinking about existing fee schedules.
I can maybe tackle
okay,
that one.
Okay, thank you.
So I'm not endorsing this concept. It's one that I think illustrates the point very well that the legislature passed LD 1694 this session, mm-hmm. Which tacked on a $3 charge to the tipping fees that are already in statute for construction mm-hmm. and demolition debris. So that brings the total for that tipping fee to $5. I think the existing fee was $2, then 1694 tacked on a $3 addition. Behind our thinking in terms of this, and I'm not suggesting that we change 1694, that's not where my head's at, but as we move forward and we contemplate fees as a legislature or as a state, one thing that may be worth thinking through is, does it make sense that all of that construction and demolition material is treated the same? Or could we incentivize main construction and demolition material to be processed and recycled if we were to lower that fee for recycled and processed material versus raw material that just goes into a landfill? Does that make sense? I'm not suggesting we do anything with 1694. I'm just using it as an example that as we look forward, if you incentivize the processing and recycling through a reduced fee that maybe makes it easier for a municipality or another party to send the material there, we may end up moving more main material into those facilities.
Follow up? And how much of a reduction in the fee would it take to be an effective incentive?
I don't know that we
that's
know
one
that.
Of, that's one of those webbed questions where I think we would have to spend some time talking about that. I off the top of my head, it's there's a lot of factors that go into that.
All right, thank you.
It sounds like you might want to have a discussion with Representative Melanie Sachs before you come anywhere near touching that little fee.
I'm not suggesting that we do. I'm just using it. It was the most relevant example in terms of a recent fee increase. Sorry.
Sure.
And it's touching the same material that we're talking about today. So certainly, you know, not interested in diving into reform on that or anything. But I think as we contemplate future fees, future increases, decreases, thinking about it in terms of incentivizing material that stays out of the landfill is beneficial to everybody. That's really it. I mean, there's a couple other bullets in there, but I would say the two that I think are probably most important as we wrap this up is one, based on earlier conversations this spring, it seemed apparent to me that even outside of resource, that there's interest if the state was going to move in a direction where there was enough material being moved into these facilities. I think others would have an interest in investing in other infrastructure, maybe to the north, maybe to the south. And then the other piece is obviously having a dialogue with the municipalities. There's 400 and something municipalities here in the state of Maine. There's little pockets of this debris everywhere throughout the state. And much of that, as Suzanne mentioned earlier, doesn't make its way through a processor or through a recycler. So what can we do to incentivize things at the municipal level to get them interested and to move material in this way? That seems like low-hanging fruit from a policy or a vision standpoint. I think it's much more difficult when you start adding in the transportation costs and other factors, but there's a lot there. So food for thought. Did I miss anything?
No.
I think that's it. Happy to answer any questions.
Any more questions from the committee? Anyone on Zoom? Any less? No. Okay. Great.
Thanks.
Okay. While you guys are getting settled, we'll take 5 minutes and let you get set up. Everyone can have a moment.